broadcasting worldwide.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. This is a show dedicated to helping you navigate the law, save on taxes, and build wealth. We are excited to be with you today. It's an important topic. Really, I want you to know this is a really important topic for today. We're going to be talking about some scams, and I'm so excited to have my co-host with me. He's going to introduce it, let you know what we're going to be covering today. Mark Kohler, the amazing Mark Kohler.
Oh, Matt, well, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening in today. You may be listening on biztalkradio.com or the app BizTalk Radio or on iTunes or listening to AM radio around the country. We want to welcome you. And we're kicking off here today the Halloween series because it's October. So we are starting out with today the scariest scams to avoid in America today. Scary scams. Like, how can you lose money? We want to protect you. We want to help you. And a lot of times, we're going to talk about this today, what to do when you do get scammed. And a lot of people call their lawyer. They're like, I think I got scammed. So we get those calls. Matt, I mean, this is something we deal with a lot.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we're probably jaded on stuff like this because we do get those calls, you know. We get the other calls, though, when the client said, I made a ton of money. How do you help me save taxes? So, you know, we get to see the plus sides and the negative sides. I got either ripped off or I made so much money. How do you help me avoid all these taxes? But today we're talking about the other one. We're talking about the scams. And because we get those calls, we see how people get duped into them. We hear about which ones are going on. We've done a little bit of research for this show today as well. And I love the tie-in there, Mark, to Halloween. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Tying in the scary scams to Halloween. Maybe somebody's got a Bernie Madoff costume ready for Halloween this year. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a scary costume right there.
Yeah, those guys fall into the trick category of trick-or-treat.
Yeah. They should have that guy that's dressed up as Bernie should be at the door, you know, taking money. It's people walking to the party.
Right. Stealing kids' candy, probably.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, this is a big topic. And what we want to do is give you some of the top scams to avoid, what to do if you do get scammed, and what to do if you get that gut feeling you might be getting scammed. So what to do in the immediate moment, how to avoid the scams. Oh, there's so much here. Of course, this could be a day-long presentation. It's amazing in America today, the rise of the white-collar crime and the internet and the phone calls. And no other time in the history of our world has there been so much technology involved in the scam process. Those hoodlums, you know, 50 to 75 years ago that just pull out a knife in the alley to rob you, they've gotten a little more technical. They're a little more skilled.
Yeah, they hide behind a website or a investment or a business thing that you just have to have. So, we're going to be talking about this from the business owner's perspective. You know, what scams do you see as a business owner? What scams do you see as an investor? And obviously, these relate down even to the consumer level, too. So whatever you're at, we're going to be covering scams that are going to fall into your realm and your world you've probably had to deal with.
Yeah, a big topic. Well, folks, if you're a regular listener of our show, and we want to say thank you for continuing to listen. We want to help you build wealth, protect it, and save taxes. It's all about the American dream. So every week, we come with either a legal or a tax tip, and we're going to start out with a tax tip.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Did you feel that? That was an ice cold 7-Up opening right there. A little refresh your wealth. We're going to refresh your tax return right now with a little tax tip from yours truly, Mark Kohler. I want to talk about saving on your technology costs. So we're kind of talking about the scam area and technology. Well, we also want to take tax write-offs for a lot of our technology. For out there, folks, you know, we're a big advocate of having a small business on the side. It could even be a little rental property. But if you have that small business, and some of you are full-time entrepreneurs listening here, it's great. Let me give you two or three technology tips. Number one, let's make sure we're writing off your cell phone. Your cell phone is 100% deduction if you've got a home phone line. That's an IRS ruling. It's a big deal. It's came out in just the last 3-4 years. A lot of CPAs are still catching on, catching up to that, and they may want to prorate your cell phone bill. Make sure you let your accountant know you've got a home phone line, you're a small business owner, and you need that cell phone for your business. Boom, 100%. And don't forget your internet in your home, which you may need to prorate because it's being used for personal and business, but we want to take a big bite of that internet expense and write it off. And then finally, all those little things you might buy at Best Buy and Apple Store, those, remember folks, are little technology items to help you succeed in your business. They're not for fun, they're business assets, business technology support items, which goes along with my sexy little Apple Watch that I'm wearing right here that is a nice little tax write-off here on my arm. So big stuff. I mean, this is stuff you want to make sure you're writing off. So don't miss out.
I love that. I love that little Apple Watch, that tax deduction that, you know, you got on your wrist at all times.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump over to the legal tip now.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Well, I don't want you to have to take a shower after this legal tip. We're going to keep this clean today. All right. You know, this kind of relates to the scams, right? I guess the scams we're talking about today, you do sometimes have to take a shower after you hear some of those pitches. But I want to talk about it. Just a straightforward legal tip today that applies to your retirement accounts. And what's really critical when you're setting up a retirement account, one of the steps you're going to do is you're going to fill out a form called the beneficiary designation form. Now, this is a really important form because it's going to indicate a couple of things of why you're going to care. First, who gets your retirement account upon your passing? I just talked to a client this morning about this issue. With all the baby boomers who have accumulated retirement plans over the years, there's lots of retirement plan money passing down to other generations. So it's real important you have these forms updated. So the first issue is, obviously, we want to get the beneficiary designation form correct because we want to make sure we know who gets the money.
Matt, are you implying that some of these baby boomers may be getting remarried and their ex-husband or ex-wife might be sitting on that beneficiary designation? Is that what you're saying?
That's been one that's happened, you know. So they fill out the form and then they forget. Oh, I have a retirement account with a beneficiary designation form that says who gets it when I die. And maybe that's not the same person I wanted when I set up that account 15 years ago. So that's the first issue. Who's on there is who you really want to get it. And if you're thinking to yourself, man, I set up my retirement account 10 years ago. How did I list that? Let's double check that. Maybe call in, especially if you've had a divorce or, you know, an issue with a child or someone who may have been listed as a beneficiary and you want to clean that up. So, yeah. So make sure that who's on there is who you truly want. The second, though, issue that's a little more tricky and why it requires more of a tip is I want you to be careful of who you list for tax purposes. So if you're married, the first general rule of thumb is always list your spouse first. Even if you have a trust, even if you have an estate plan with a trust, you're generally going to want to list your spouse first as the beneficiary on your retirement account because there are what are called spousal rollover rules. And those allow a spouse to roll over your retirement plan into their retirement plan. It gives them some perks and some additional flexibility. The second, of course, contingent beneficiaries could be your trust or your kids. If it's your trust, make sure that trust qualifies. You have to have what's called a see-through trust provision in the trust. The trust has to qualify as what's called a see-through trust to be listed as a beneficiary.
Matt, these are great tips. And this reminds me of a couple points is that, number one, some of you may be thinking, hey, you know, why do these guys talk about retirement as a theme? You know, we do usually bring up the topic at least one point of every show because here's the deal, folks. It's saving taxes. It's protecting the wealth we have. and then building it for the future. And not every retirement account is that stock, bond, or mutual fund. It can be really, really creative. And so I love, Matt, that you're always bringing to the table something to deal with retirement accounts. And also, another little side note is the articles in our newsletter today. There was an article on this topic. I had a little article on the hobby loss rule to make sure if you set up a business, you don't lose on the hobby loss. So this is these are all little tips that you can get also in our newsletter every week. If you go to Refresh Your Wealth, you can sign up for the newsletter to read up on more detail.
Yeah, you know, I always bring up retirement plans because there's $27 trillion in retirement plans in the U.S. So there's like 27 trillion reasons why to talk about it. It's like the
lot. It's kind of a big deal.
Money in the U.S. So it's kind of a big deal. But yeah, I just want to make sure you're getting those beneficiary designations right. There's always a lot of money at stake. People are building their wealth in their retirement accounts, which is great. There's good tax benefits. We just want to make sure the beneficiary designations are done right. So thanks for being with us. We'll be back for more on the Refresh Your Wealth Show.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Rocking the house, talking about the Halloween topic for this month is the scariest scams to avoid in America today. We're going to be talking some horror stories in the courtroom and nightmare retirement plan stories later this month. We got a whole month of just awesome things to avoid and ways to better protect your assets and your wealth, and just going with the Halloween this month. So thanks for listening. It's good stuff. We're excited to be here with you.
Yeah, and I don't want to like freak everyone out and be like, oh, they're just going to scare me to death and or anything, but you know.
Oh no, is this just a Debbie Downer show?
Yeah, this is just a little moment in time where we're going to do this, and then you know we're going to be all fun and happy on other but every once in a while you got to. You know, we want a direction. You got to hear it. Know what to avoid. We're going to talk about making money and saving taxes, building wealth later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When we get into November and December and year-end planning sessions for tax planning, oh, folks, we want to be on your auto dialer right here. You know, just every week that podcast download comes into your iTunes. Boom. Check it out. Okay. Well, every week for those regular listeners, you know what's next. And that is we have our question of the week. Last week we had a question to stress you, pressure you into thinking a little bit more about tax and legal. And we have a special prize for every winner that's willing to be the first one to email us with an answer. Last week's question was, Matt, why don't you throw out the question and then I'll give us the answer here. Tell us what we got here.
Yeah, you bet. All right. The question from last week was, if you're an active real estate investor, how much of your rental losses can you use to offset against your other income? Now, as I said this last week, I told everyone, if you've got one rental property or more, this is a huge thing. You need to know this. This is a huge tax benefit of rental real estate.
Oh, yeah. And accountants screw this up all the time. I actually give classes to other accountants on how to check the right box on a tax return. And folks will get on TurboTax and mess this up on a regular basis. And the IRS loves to audit this because people say, oh, I've got rental property. Oh, all that's a write-off. Woo! You know, and they just kind of knock it through and push the button to make it happen on TurboTax when really they shouldn't be pushing those buttons. So here's the deal. If you're an active real estate investor, which means you make decisions. It's not an hour requirement. You don't have to be a realtor or contractor. You don't have to own a ton of real estate. You just have to be making decisions regarding your real estate. You can deduct up to $25,000 against other income. 25 grand up against other income. Now, it phases out. If you make over $150,000 on adjusted gross income, you're going to phase out. But here's the point. You don't lose the write-off. It just carries forward. And all the time, people are like, oh, Mark, my accountant says I make too much money. I can't write off my rentals. Oh, no. You'll get to write it off. Just take all those deductions. Take the internet, the cell phone, the kids, the travel, the dining, the entertainment. Write it off against those rentals, and it's just a warm blanket. You're going to be able to dump that bucket out of losses down the road when you sell any rental. So active real estate investor is an okay designation. Just make sure you're checking the box on the right designation so you don't get in harm's way with the IRS. So. There you go. Oh, and our winner Our winner is Tony up in Boise, Idaho. Want to give a little shout out there to the Broncos. Hope they're having a good season. Oh, did I open the door to football here? Because Tony, you're bringing up Boise Broncos. I want to just say Boise State Broncos. I want to say the Utes this weekend, Matt. Huh? Did Oregon a lesson? Just want to throw that out.
Yeah, anybody saw that Oregon-Utah game? Boy, that was scary. speaking of scary, and I guess it was a scam if you bet on Oregon, huh? there's some happy Utah fans out there in the world right now. Mark Kohler and I, two of them. But great football.
Oh, it's awesome. So, Tony up in Boise, we're going to be sending you a copy of my book or Matt's, your choice. We'll be in touch via email. So, folks, Matt's going to disclose this week's question right now. And if you're sitting by your computer or on your smartphone, last week's winner was on her smartphone. She just sent us an answer right there. So you can go to your email and send an email response to mark@kkoslawyers.com or Matt, M-A-T, one T. M-A-T at kkoslawyers.com. So, Matt, throw it down. The timer, you know, people are ready by their phones.
All right. Okay. Be ready. I want to see some answers on this one. This is kind of an easier one. Last one was a little more tricky because it was tax, and there's some nuanced language in there. This one's a little more simple. But don't think that means you shouldn't answer. That means it's weird. When the questions are easy, we get less response. I don't know why, but we get less response. So if you know it, send in the answer. All right, the question of this week is, what document do you use to state who will raise your children upon your death? Your will or your trust? All right, who's going to take care of your kids upon your death? Your will or your trust? What document do you state that for your estate plan?
Now, we're not going to ask who's going to take care of your kids because we know if they're teenagers, you're leaving them to the soup kitchen down the street. But if you have younger children that you love still and they love you back, you're going to make a careful decision. So what document is that? Who will be your guardians for your children? Big deal.
Yeah.
So, all right.
All right. Well, I'm just like pumped and excited to get in this show topic, and we got a little bit of time before the break. Why don't we just jump in and start talking about the scariest scams?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's throw out some of the there's a lot of great resources out there. We consumerfraudreporting.org. If some of you want to read more up on this, we've loved that website. It's a great resource for studying up more on your rights with credit card disputes and possible, if your credit card number gets stolen, spam emails, what do I do? What to do if I'm scammed? Is your wallet stolen? This is a great website. So for anybody here listening to the show that you're wanting to study more on this or need some help, there's some free publications and a lot of help at consumerfraudreporting.org. Now, interesting point, Matt, here. Actually, one of the most common scams back in the day was the email scams or phone call scams, which we're going to come to. They're still in the top 10. But number one this year is the internet scam. A lot more websites based on some sort of promise to deliver a product, and you're going on the web and you're paying for something and it never shows up. And I have to say, this has happened to one of our family members. I won't get too, but in our immediate family, my wife and kids, we've bought something online and then that website just disappears or it never shows up and there's no one to email. And so be careful on the internet that you are going to reputable websites to purchase products. That was number one, Matt. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, and you know, the other ones that are really common from the consumer standpoint here, when you're talking about as a business owner and from an investment standpoint, we're going to get to those. Those are probably more, we're going to spend more time on here. But, on the consumer side, and this is a great report, by the way, you want to always be careful with your email. So many of these scams relate to email and people spoofing emails and phishing emails. And you want to just be very leery of logging into stuff and entering in your passwords, for example, from phishing or spoofing emails. So those lead to a lot of different scams that end up getting your credit card information, your personal information. We'll be back here in a few minutes after the break. We're going to be getting into scams that affect you as a business owner and an investor, helping you avoid them.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Refresh Your Wealth with Mark and Matt, talking about top scams to avoid in America today. This affects all of us. I'm a fairly gullible, trusting, loving guy, and of course, I've been scammed in my life. Some of you out there listening have never been scammed in one form or fashion, then God bless you. You're a lucky person. So it's a scary world we live in. So we're here talking about ways to avoid getting scammed. And a lot of times, as our law firm fields calls, we sometimes are that first line defense for clients when they feel like they've been through a bad situation. So we get a lot of those phone calls. So we thought we want to dedicate a show to this. It's October, Halloween month, so we're talking about scary scams. And we just talked about emails and the internet. We got to say it, so we're just going to bring it up. And I swear, there's a phone call every week at our house where you get that phone call where you've won a prize, won a sweepstake, a gift, a lottery. Folks, I'm just going to tell you now, if you get that phone call, it's probably too good to be true. I mean, I just want to forewarn you right now, it's not going to happen. It really isn't.
Doesn't Ed McMahon, if you really won, doesn't he like come to your house with a big cardboard check?
Yeah, there you go. If someone
call you from a cubicle, you know, or have some, you know, someone else call you from the cubicle. If you won a big prize, it's going to get delivered in a different way than a telemarketer phone call.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's just, if someone does show up at your door with a big, cardboard check, you know, we're going to talk about what to do if you're in the moment. And it sounds too good to be true. In fact, I'm going to call it right now, your checklist of what to do when it sounds too good to be true. And we're going to go through five things to do when you're in the moment. But these phone calls are just off the chart. People calling, giving you, you've got some sort of refund due to you, some sort of recovery, and you've won this, or we're going to give you some scholarship money for your kids. Any sort of thing that sounds too good to be true is a little scary. You got to be careful there. It's kind of ugly.
All right. Well, I want to start in and talk about some of the scams that you'll see in the business owner or investor standpoint. So, just because you know you may be a savvy business owner or investor doesn't mean you're immune from these. And in our law firm, these are the ones we probably come across the most. Actually, is some of these scams that people run into when they're starting a business, or they're in business for a long time, or they're starting to make investments. Maybe they're self-directing their retirement account, or they're investing in real estate for the first time. These are some of the scams we see. So I want to dive into these. Now I want to hit the first one here that I see a lot on the investment side of things, which has been labeled a scam. There's some believers in this, but it is the Iraqi dinar. Okay. A lot of people have been sold and invested in Iraqi dinar, buying currency from Iraq, you know, the place you want to be investing in, and I've been told that the currency is going to revalue. Now, I'm no investment expert. Let's just say that pitch has been going for a long time, and it hasn't revalued. So I even had my own family members, some people that I know closely involved with this. There's been a lot of people invest a lot of money in that and have really stuff that's just colorful paper right now to show for it.
Yeah, and it's scary. It's too bad because what usually happens when I take those calls, and I'm not kidding you, for the last 8 years, I've got a phone call every couple months. There's those little ebbs and flows, sometimes more calls than other times. But for 8 years, I've gotten that phone call, Mark, I'm going to have this big wave of money come in and it's going to happen next Friday. How can I save taxes on it? And I, you know, the first year or two, I was like, oh, that's cool. What'd you do? Sell a property, sell your business. But now I know, oh, you invested in Iraqi dinar. How'd you know? You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's just really sad. And so, here's another telltale sign. More and more when I meet with those clients that have money invested in currency, they're saying, well, I really shouldn't even be talking to you because the investment advisors, we've signed a non-disclosure that we can't even talk about it. So it's like they know they're scamming you and they're having you sign documents that you can't even get legal or tax advice to deal with it because it's confidential. So they're trying to prevent you from even getting help and discovering that you're being scammed. So without any, it's just bad.
I call that a red flag.
Yeah.
Red
yeah.
flag.
Yeah, red flag.
If someone
red
makes flag. You sign a non-disclosure for investing, you know, that's a major red flag. Wow. What are they like? Did they invent the internet or something? I mean, is there some technology that's super important you can't disclose? I don't understand, but yeah, red flag. Okay, Mark, what about on the business owner side? You know, I mean, we see a lot of people starting out in business that start getting tripped up into scams, and it's literally like a very emotional, you know, teardrops falling type situation. People getting in and getting some initial bad advice and how to set up their entity.
Yeah, yeah. And we could go, again, on the business side. Let's stay here before we go back to that consumer side and talk about five things to do when you're in the moment. But Matt, I love that you're bringing this up, because there's so much to cover in our short time here with you listeners. Is watch out for the scam. This is, of course, a chapter in my book. Both of my books, The Lawyers Are Liars and Tax and Legal Playbook, is watch out for someone selling you the Nevada or Delaware or Wyoming entity. Now, do we set up entities in those states? We absolutely do. If clients have a very elaborate structure with a lot of assets, or they've got rentals in those states. But folks, if you're a brand new investor, a brand new business owner, and someone in a cubicle that's not a law firm trying to sell you an elaborate structure with a C Corp or entities or limited partnerships or Nevada or Wyoming, if those words even fall off their lips, you need to stop, drop, and roll. You got to get a second opinion. It's a scary situation out there.
Yeah, I mean, I ran into this one twice over the last couple weeks in a numerous manner. Once I was speaking in California a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about what's the right type of entity to set up for your business, and I was talking to some real estate investors, and they were basically rehabbers. They were flipping properties. So we were saying, all right, let's do an S Corp, and you're flipping properties in California, so you do a California S Corp. And that was the route I was telling them to go down. They said, well, but we already set up Nevada C corporations. We were told that we should set those up because that Nevada has better asset protection laws and there's no taxes. And I was trying to be nice. I was like, you're just going to have to flush that one down the toilet. I'm sorry. There's nothing else you can do. You know, we can't salvage that. I'm like, you don't even want to into it. You're just going to have to, you know, I can't even do anything with it. Sometimes you just can't polish a turd, you know, it's just get rid of it and you have to start all over.
Yeah.
And then I had an email even yesterday. I had an email from a client saying some, you know, blank blank corporate headquarters told me to set up my entity in Nevada, and it's this big old price tag to do it, and I don't do business in Nevada, but I've been told to set up my entity there. Is that right? That doesn't sound right to me. What's the reason I should set up in Nevada? And I said, it's a scam. Don't do it. And I pointed him to Mark Kohler's YouTube video on the subject and his article in Entrepreneur Magazine on their website about why not to do it, because he wanted some quick resources and he loved it. But this is a big one. It's probably one of the most prevalent one that you'll see as a business owner. Avoid the incorporate in the state you don't do business and the C Corp structure or the elaborate structure when you're just getting started. You don't need a million entities when you get started.
No, great, great comment, Matt. And also watch out for the corporate credit scam. We're going to start rattling these off, folks, because we want to get through these and maybe after the break give you some tips on what to do in the process and afterwards. But watch out for corporate credit. That's very common too. All of us need access to cash to start our business and get it off the ground. So we get sold this shelf corporation or some method to get rapid access to corporate credit. If someone's promising you corporate credit, you've got to, again, get a second opinion. I was just on a phone call yesterday, Matt, with a client and gave them a resource to get legitimate credit built in their business and rebuild their own credit in the same time. Very important.
Yeah, and we've had prior radio shows on building corporate credit. So, you know, you go to refreshyourwealth.com or on the iTunes podcast, you can pull up prior radio shows on that topic to delve into it if you want to know the real ways.
Oh, no, I love it. And I'm just going to rattle off two more here before our break is watch out for non-licensed coaching. Those people out there that call themselves gurus, they're promising some expensive boot camp on how to do this or how to do that. Always be careful making impetuous decisions in the moment on some coaching or some guru when you're trying to get into a new market of some sort. I really am nervous about those. And the last one I'm going to say is affinity fraud. Sometimes the neighbor next door can be one of the biggest fraudsters in your life. Be careful when anyone in your church, your family, your neighborhood says, oh, trust me, this is going to be great. You don't need a lawyer. Just sign here. And they try to force you to move quickly. It doesn't have to be some no-name face across the country on an email or a phone call. It can literally be the person next door. So watch out for those scams. Be cautious and careful. And when we get back, we're going to give you some additional tips on what to do if you're in the middle of a scam situation. Thank you for listening to Refresh Your Wealth.
Welcome back to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We are talking today about avoiding scams, the scary scams. And I want to give a couple of tips here on how to detect a potential scam. And these are from the SEC. You can get these at sec.gov under the investor alert. But here's a couple of things to use to detect scams. And I'm going to ad-lib some of these because I've got my own due diligence top 10 list that has some crossover here. You can find that at refreshyourwealth.com under some of our prior articles in our newsletter. But let me go over the SEC's list here. The first one is promises of high investment returns. If there is a really high investment return promised, you need to look at it like it's a scam. Now, you may be looking at a great investment, but let's dig deep and make sure there's some substance to that promise. A lot of promoters out there will say, oh, you know, I'll give you a 15% return. You're going to make double your money in 60 days. Okay. Well, I really want to see some documentation and do some research and due diligence on that. The next thing, sign of a potential investment scam, pressure to buy right now or to invest right now. We come across this a lot, and I'll get clients that'll send me documents and say, I've got to have these reviewed today. I've got to make the investment today. If I don't get in now, they won't let me invest in any of their time. Well, that's usually a red flag of a scam. If someone's pressuring you to invest right now or to take action right now, or you know, you're not going to be able to invest, that's another red flag. This might be a scam. The next one is if there's a complex product or strategy. If it's super complex in what you're being told and you don't understand it, don't invest. If you can't understand how you're going to make money, your money should not be in that investment. And that's on my own list. That's number one on my list, in fact, which is if you don't understand it, don't invest in it. You need to be able to understand it. You want to be able to talk to your financial professionals or other investors or business friends of yours to be able to explain it and get their feedback. Now, there's a much more extensive list here. You can go to sec.gov. It's the signs of a potential investment scam, a great resource to read up on to try and avoid even getting into a scam in the first place. But yeah, and if you have been in a scam, now we want to talk about what to do.
Yeah. And well, Matt, and I just want to reiterate, not investing in or getting involved in something you don't understand, that's a big one. For example, since we've been talking about a little bit of football, since it's October football season, if you don't understand the BCS, do not participate in watching the BCS Bowls. It just doesn't make sense. So watch out for that scam.
That was a shot.
Yeah. You know, that's from a non-SEC fan shot, you know, right there. Sorry, SEC fans. I'm just saying. Just, you know, out here in the Pac-12, we need a little bit of love. You know, heaven forbid we're from the Mountain West or something like that. Okay, so now here's five rules to avoid the top scam. This was a great article in USA Today. And I'm just going to quickly do these two of, and these are kind of like in the moment scams. Like if you're in the moment going, this sounds too good to be true, what are five things I should be doing at the moment? And Matt or has already said one of these, and that's take your time. Whenever you're making decisions in a vacuum and quickly, that's when problems can occur. So there should never be a rush to redeem a coupon or a refund or save money or make money or claim a prize or whatever the sales pitch is. If there's a rush, there's something wrong. Number two, in the moment, if you're feeling it, ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. You might feel like a bad person or questioning, and this could be questioning your relative or your cousin or your neighbor or church member. don't feel bad asking questions. And and you can always blame us. You know, your attorney, say, hey, my attorney's told me you never jump right into it. I got to ask questions. You know, make us the bad guy. Number three is verify the answers. So when someone makes this promise to you and you're asking questions and they say, well, this is the answer, verify it. Hang up, call someone else, get on the web, do a little bit of research. And I know it takes time, but it can save you so much time and money and heartache later. Number four, don't pay up front. If someone's asking for money immediately, again, and to move forward, you've got to provide a social security number or a credit card or debit card, just so that we can, and if you hear the words wire transfer, Western Union, MoneyGram, you need to pay us in order to process your reward, just stop. And that brings us to number five, don't engage. Once you know that you're in a situation that does seem like it's a scam, don't fight with them. Just hang up the phone and just get off there. There's stories of people, victims, that are playing with the scammer and trying to get him back or get back at him, and it turned ugly, and there's threats on their people's lives, or they try to cause more problems for you. Just get out of there. Just hang up the phone, turn off the email, delete it, whatever it is, and move on. So little five things there to do if you're in the moment. Very, very important. Okay. Well,
all right, Mark, let me talk about what to do.
And Matt, hey, maybe, and I'm sorry there was a little delay there, but Matt, why don't you kind of share maybe our five-star review this week? Someone that gave us a five-star review, they deserve a book. We got to give them a book for those folks out there with a five-star review.
That's right. Any of you who listen to us on the podcast under iTunes for Refresh Your Wealth, thanks for listening there. We love it when you give us a five-star review. So if you can give us a five-star review, we will be happy to send you a free copy of Minor Mark's books. And I want to come back to one of the reviews we received about the show. This is from Drace1. Drace1, whoever you are, email us so we know who you are and we can send you the book and let us know which book you do want. But Drace left a five-star review and Drace1 and said, one of the best podcasts out there. If you're looking to educate yourself on a wide range of topics from personal finance, asset protection, business insanities, and much more, then you have to subscribe to this. They've been around a long time and one of the best info I've come across. So thanks so much, Drace1, for that five-star review, and encourage all you others to get out there. One other thing I wanted to talk about, though, is what to do if you've been involved in a scam. If you realize, oh my gosh, what I just invested in or what I just bought was a scam, I want to tell you a couple places to go. First, every state has a consumer protection department where you should go to report the scam. There may be dozens or hundreds or thousands of other people like you that have been involved in the same scam, and that consumer protection department may already have enforcement procedures. Usually those departments are related to the Attorney General's office in your state. Second place, Federal Trade Commission. Federal Trade Commission is the federal office for that, where you can report scams. Great place to go to report scams, try and get assistance and help, maybe have them bring a legal case on your behalf. Thanks for listening to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We are excited to be with you next week. Tune in.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.